Please stand if you are able for the gospel reading. The reading comes from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 30. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestors Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or, "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Have you ever heard about the survivor rule of threes? There are various versions, but here is one. An average human can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours in extreme cold, possibly 3 weeks without food. But 3 days without water. Only 3 days without water we can survive. Water is super important. It's not an option, it's a necessity, it's an essential. Simply, We cannot live without water. There is no substitute for water. You can live without soda, coffee, or any other beverages such as juice or energy drink. You remember the old commercial, Got Milk? Well, milk does the body good. But without milk, we can still survive. We can still live. Some people even, you know, cannot even drink milk. According to a report, between 30 million and 50 million people have lactose intolerance in the U.S. alone. Wow. Have you ever seen the 2000 Disney animation movie, Finding Nemo? Raise your hand. Oh, most of you. Good, good. Okay. In the movie, there is a seahorse named Sheldon. This guy, right? At one scene, he sneezed himself right off the screen after telling everyone he was H2O intolerant. You know, fish cannot be H2O water intolerant, of course. I mean, everybody laughed at the time, right? Yeah. Without water, we cannot sustain or even survive. Water is like the most important life source, along with air we breathe, right? Today, we can find drinking water everywhere, especially in the United States. It's so abundant. So many bottled waters, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of brand-name bottled waters everywhere. And tap water is generally safe to drink in the USA. Right, tap water. But even you travel to another country, bottled waters are available almost everywhere, of course, these days. And when I was traveling in the Philippines in 2010 for a mission trip, somehow everyone told me to drink only bottled water. And everybody called the bottled water as mineral water. So I thought, wow, interesting. Mineral water. I mean, we don't get to use that much in the United States, right? Anyhow, water is absolutely needed for life. Water is very important in the present, in the past, and in the future. From the Old Testament passage from Exodus this morning, we read the Israelites complaining in the wilderness, where they complained about many things here and there. And of course, they were wandering around how many years? 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years are a long time. And this Exodus shows that people complain because they are thirsty. Here is the Bible scripture. But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" Well, it's one of their typical complaints. Why did you bring us from Egypt in the first place? Wow, they are always forgetting, you know, that they were saved by God through Moses. Anyhow, eventually Moses prayed and God answered, right? They got the water gushing out from the rock and the people's thirst was quenched. Wow. And now fast forward is Jesus' time. Jesus knew all about water. Growing up in the rocky, dry land of Israel, he knew firsthand that water was a precious resource that did not come easily. He must have grown up seeing his mother and countless other women spend hours of their days fetching water for cooking, cleaning and drinking. So when Jesus encounters the lone Samaritan woman at the well in the hot noonday sun, he could appreciate the hard work that was required to draw enough water from the deep well in order to meet the needs of her family. Water is notoriously heavy. 1 pint of water weighs 1 pound, so a 5-gallon bucket equals a staggering 40 pounds. A woman would have to haul this much water several times every day to meet the demands of a large family and busy household. When Jesus, that very human Savior, encounters the woman at the well, he's hot and tired from his journey. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. And what's more, he's not packing a bottle of Arrowhead spring water. And so he's thirsty. But he knows exactly what he needs to ease his thirst. Give me a drink. He says to the Samaritan woman, it's a touching, vulnerable moment, one of the very few times that we hear Jesus make a request of another person. He needs something that she can provide. In that moment, it doesn't matter that he's the Son of God, the Savior of the world, a man in a male-oriented society, or a Jew encountering someone from the ethnically despised Samaritans. All the barriers and differences, like gender and nationality, that might divide them fall away. Jesus is simply a person with a basic human need. And this woman has the ability to help him. She can give him water. So Jesus was able to quench his thirst with water from this woman. Water for us humans is necessary for survival. What we don't often consider is how necessary for our spiritual survival is the living water Jesus offers through the Holy Spirit. The woman's realization of this spiritual truth is being revealed from this gospel lesson. And this truth is for us as well. Let me share with you three brief insights. Number one, your spirit will be refreshed by this water. Let's say you are dehydrated from hard work or running or long distance travel by walking. I hope you're packing water this afternoon. You are so thirsty, right? And I'm now going to take a sip of this cold water and wow, it's refreshing. And its supply is unending. And it would be wonderful, yes. You know, interestingly, this Samaritan woman's story never actually tells us if Jesus gets that cup of cold water because there's something much more important going on. We don't know if this unnamed woman took the time to draw water for Jesus, but we do know that she stops what she's doing because she's amazed that Jesus is speaking to her at all. Just by noticing her, Jesus has opened up a world of brand new possibilities to this woman weighed down by guilt and shame. Jesus, of course, is never simply a taker. He has not come into her life simply to demand something that he needs. Jesus is experiencing the discomfort of thirst, but he knows that the woman at the well is caring a far heavier burden. He has prepared to give her much more than a simple cup of water. He is going to offer her something that Diet Coke or Dr. Pepper or 7-Up or a Monster or Rockstar or any kind of beverage cannot offer. The water will remove her thirst forever. The water, the living water. Wow. Jesus knows exactly who this woman is and can see the painful secrets of her heart. Jesus recognizes her thirst for forgiveness and acceptance. Jesus offers what she needs even before she knows enough to ask for help. Unlike Jesus, she doesn't even have to voice her request. I can give you living water. He says, water that can heal your spirit and ease the pain in your heart. This water is truly refreshing. The woman is so consumed with a day-in, day-out burden of fetching endless buckets of water that she cannot grasp the magnitude of what Jesus is offering. She is simply eager to find a way to avoid this back-breaking drudgery that defines her life. When Jesus tells her that he has water that will forever cure her thirst, she eagerly replies in 15. Sir, give me this water so that I may never thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Sorry, I think I missed something. One, sorry. Okay, but anyhow, let's go back here. Jesus is offering to open up all of eternity to her, and she's focused on making fewer trips to the village well. How often are we ready to settle for less than what God wants to offer to us? How often do we hesitate to ask for anything from this generous God who is prepared to let God, the love and blessing and forgiveness flow over us like an ever-flowing stream? There is no way the woman at the well could visualize how refreshing this water is. Jesus is not suggesting a better way to do her chores. He is not proposing to create a better work environment for her. He is offering to ease the burden of her troubled soul and release her from the pain of guilt. This woman is living with a past that makes her an outcast in her own village. She's been married multiple times, even worse for that day and age and culture. She's now living with a man who is not her husband. The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." She carries with her pain of guilt, shame, and rejection, and that's a far heavier burden than the water that she carries every day. Jesus doesn't want to help her with the burden of her hands. He wants to ease the burden of her heart. He wants to remove the pain of isolation and disgrace. There, by the way, Jesus shows this woman why he has come. "But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Jesus wants to offer the gift of God's life-giving spirit, water that gushing up to eternal life to God's people. Just as the Samaritan woman has exactly what Jesus needs in that moment, water. He has precisely what she needs as well, even if she doesn't know it. Grace and forgiveness and the promise of a new life. Refreshing. Not a bad trade for a cup of water. Number two, your life will be transformed by this water. Jesus will be thirsty again after he enjoys the cup of water that we hope this woman gives to him. But his living water will meet a need deep inside of her. Although we never see Jesus receive water from this woman, we do get to see the power of Jesus transforming love when it is given and received. Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah, the one that they have been all have been waiting and hoping for. We hear him tell her the good news. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That's what Jesus offers this tired, burdened woman, a chance to be transformed. She can be washed clean with but one drink of water he is offering her. You get the sense that this woman is street smart. She's talking to a stranger. She's talking to a strange man. She's a bit sassy. She's a person of dubious reputation. She's probably had to scratch and claw to get what she's got. So when she finally understands what's being offered, she grabs it and rejoices. But this woman is also generous. She wants to share this gift of a new life and a hope with everyone she knows. It's possible that this woman had been an outcast in her own village because of her misdeeds and guilty past. But all of that is behind her now. She takes this living water and she runs back to her village to tell others the good news. She eagerly approaches everyone that she sees and says with wonder. Verse 29 and 30, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Says they left the city and were on their way to him. A sip of this water has transformed her life. She's so excited and she wants to share the good news. Number three, come to this living water. For what do we thirst? What do you thirst for? Someone who knows us as completely as Jesus does and yet loves us anyhow. Forgiveness and new life that God alone can offer. A fresh start, understanding, rest, renewal, love, or peace. To acknowledge the mistakes that we have made and know that there is still hope for us. To cast away the burden of guilt and the weight of regret. Read the label. All of that and more is offered to us in the living water Jesus offers us. Living water. It sounds like a famous water brand name, right? But a living water reaches a need far deeper than everyday thirst. Living water touches the part of us that wakes up in the night worried or lonely or consumed with remorse. Living water can wash away the parts of us that feel unclean and threaten to keep us isolated forever. In the same Gospel of John, Jesus also invites people to come to the water, the living water. Chapter 7, 37 and 38, Jesus cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink, as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah is also inviting us to come to the water. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come to the living water. Come to Christ the Word and His presence. Live your life led by the Holy Spirit." Throughout the Bible, especially the Gospel, the living water refers to the Holy Spirit. Important thing is not just knowing it, but you've got to come to the water. You must quench your thirst, your spiritual thirst. You must rely on this spiritual source of your life. It's God's precious gift for you. Everyone is welcome. Come to the water. One of my favorite gospel songs is entitled "Come to the Water." This is also known as "For Those Tears I Died." Music and words by Russ and Marcia Stevens in 1972. I'm sure you have received the insert, and our response team will be leading this song and right now. And let's stand if you are able.